Let's look again at page 271. And let's also turn in these copies of God's inerrant, inspired, infallible, all-sufficient, authoritative word for us and the book of Galatians. And remember, if you have a hard time finding Galatians, once you get through your Romans and Corinthians, just think, go eat popcorn, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And that can be a help. I know it's helped me, as strange as it sounds. So let's go eat popcorn tonight. And we'll start with Galatians. So let's look here in Galatians and then page 271. And let me give you what we looked at and focused on last week as we get a running start. What's up on the screen right now is the key to the entire book. It tells you why the book of Galatians is in your Bible. Why is it one of the 66 books in the canon of Scripture? It's in there because you have the threat of teachers who are trying to turn the Galatian people to a different gospel. If you distort the one gospel, Paul calls that a different gospel. And then he says it's really not a different gospel at all. It's just false teaching. But the problem is it's coming by the hands of some Jewish leaders who are trying to tell the people that to become Christians, you've got to become Jews first. And that's why they're called Judaizers, trying to make you a Jewish person before you can become a Christian. And that is the focus of that is on the Gentile people that are not Jewish. So these come in and they start teaching things regarding keeping the law and becoming Jewish. And Paul is going to really spend the entire letter addressing that. So where we left off last week under that is some things he wanted the Galatians to know. And I'm going to put these back up here in chunks because we've already talked about them last week and then we'll pick up at the end. So number one, he wants them to know that the gospel he preached did not come from a kid at Walmart. He didn't get it from Hobby Lobby. He got his gospel straight from a revelation of Jesus himself. Remember, road to Damascus, knocked the guy flat on his back. He's blinded, and he realized that the one he's been persecuting really is the Messiah, the Son of God. So he says, I got my gospel by revelation of Christ himself. He also wanted them to know that while those false teachers are trying to convince them they've got to keep the law to be saved or to be Christian, he says, no, no, no. You are justified. Okay? You are declared righteous, as a courtroom word. You're declared righteous by faith alone. It's not your works of keeping the law or trying to obey different portions of the Old Testament law. You're justified by faith alone. And that is going to come up over and over in this book because of the false teachers. And then he gave an example. And I think we left off with this last week. He says, even Abraham, while he did practice circumcision and he was obedient to obey what God said, he says, even Abraham was not justified by works. He was justified by his faith. And what we left off with last week is the Old Testament saint was saved the exact same way as a New Testament saint. It's always been through faith. It's never been by keeping a law. The question is, while you keep a law, are you doing it because you believe God? Is that why you're keeping it? Or is it truly just a list of rules and regulations? If it's just a list of rules and regulations, that's legalism. You don't have the gospel. But if you believe God enough to do what he says there in the faith component, that's what justifies you. That's what gets you declared righteous. And the same is true in the New Testament. And that's going to be, again, a big emphasis in the book of Galatians. So that's where I think I left off last week. Let's do the next two blanks on here and then we'll stop. If you want to throw anything out there, ask anything or share anything. So another emphasis in the book of Galatians, this is found in chapter 3. And what Paul emphasizes here is that we are all one. Now think, don't forget, and you're going to see this really a lot in the book of Ephesians. you've got two broad categories of peoples. You've got Gentiles who like smoked barbecue, right? Eating pig. You got the Jews, and they like it but can't eat it because of the law. Anyway, I'm playing with that. But the point is, you've got these pig-eating, sickening, backwards pagan Gentiles, and you've got Jewish people, and Paul says both y'all get saved the same way. But when you get saved, then the distinctions of your occupation or your ethnicity, it does not matter. What matters is your faith in Christ. And what happens is, when a person, no matter where they are in life, when they are justified by faith, we then become one in the body of Christ. Some of these distinctions when it comes to salvation, or all these distinctions when it comes to salvation, they do not apply. So let's look at the verse. Chapter 3, verse 28, after he speaks about their salvation, and let's see, he says here, you've become sons of God, sons and daughters of God. Then he says in verse 28, now watch, this is in the context of salvation. In the context of salvation, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man, right? There's not one way for a free man to be saved and another way for a slave to be saved, right? There's no distinction when it comes to salvation. There's neither male or female. Wouldn't it be crazy if God had a different way for men to be saved and a different way for women to be saved? And Delmas, don't you say anything. You got yourself in trouble already tonight. But wouldn't that be something? So here's what he says. With salvation, these distinctions do not matter because you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, distinctions do matter when it comes to role in the home and role in the church. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about salvation right here. Justification by faith. So that means that, and I don't know when it happened, I just happened to look up that verse, I'm going to just use him as an example, but that means when Paul came face to face with the gospel and heard about his need for Christ and turned to Christ, he was saved by the grace of God through faith in what Jesus did on the cross. When Liz, in life, when she came face to face with the gospel and realized her need for salvation, need for Christ, she was saved by grace through faith in the accomplished work of Christ on the cross. You're not saved in different ways because of gender, ethnicity, language, financial position, status. It doesn't work that way. There's one plan of salvation, one way to know God. And so Paul says, when you're in Christ, we're one, united in the body of Christ, in the context of salvation. So that's another emphasis in the book. And here's the last one, and I'm going to stop so you can throw out any questions or anything you want to add. Not only are you one in Christ, then he says in chapter 5, you also are free in Christ. Now, what does he mean, free? Well, look in verse 1 of chapter 5. Remember, the context is those trying to make you keep the Old Testament law to become a Christian. He says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Now, the context there, the freedom, is freedom from the Old Testament sacrificial ceremonial law. Okay, it was for freedom from that that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Now, the Judaizers are trying to convince them to turn back to Jewish principles before they can become a Christian. No, no. Stand firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Now, here's what he's talking about. Paul says that the Old Testament law is good. No doubt about it. There's a purpose there. But after Jesus fulfilled that law, he says, if you now turn back to that law and try to practice that law for ceremonial purposes and sacrificial purposes, he says, that is a yoke of slavery to you. And I think Paul would say, if you've been set free from all of these different principles and practices that you have to do with the Old Testament for atonement, if you've been set free from that as Christ has fulfilled that, why then would you go back to it? And yet that's exactly what the Judaizers are trying to tell the Christians to do. So this is a key point in the book. The freedom we have in Christ, freedom from that Old Testament sacrificial ceremonial law that Christ has fulfilled. All right, I'm going to come up for a breath. Question. Anything you want to add? Share. Anybody doubt Paul was saved? You know, I'm just throwing it out there. Some of y'all are saying, I didn't know he was saved. No, I'm just playing. Making sure you're awake. Y'all ain't got no question, nothing to add. Well, let's look at the bottom then. All right, they entitled this section, How to Be Right with God. This is going to give you more of the context of the book that I've already emphasized. So some false teachers came to Galatia. That would be the Judaizers we talked about earlier. They taught that the Gentiles, and I'm going to put this up on the screen. It's not a blank. I'm going to put it up in just a minute. But there's two really important things in this paragraph I'll come back to. They taught that the Gentiles must become Jews in order to be Christians. These teachers also insisted that Christians obey the Old Testament laws and demanded that Gentiles be circumcised and observe the Jewish holy days. Paul says that these men preached a gospel of works. They taught that people could be saved by obeying the law. So I'm going to put up on the screen, these are not blanks, but these are the two most important statements in that paragraph that, again, will help you understand the book of Galatians. First of all, the Judaizers come in and they say to the Gentiles that if you want to become a Christian, you got to first of all convert to Judaism. Circumcision, following the Old Testament law, all that, if you want to become a Christian. All right, that's wrong. That's why Paul writes the book. Second thing he says, or a second good summary statement from this paragraph, Paul accuses these teachers, false teachers, of basically preaching or teaching a gospel of works. Works-based salvation. So anytime you have someone trying to tell you you've got to follow Old Testament law, Jewish law, that has already been fulfilled now, if somebody's telling you you've got to follow that, Paul argues, that's the gospel of works. That's not the gospel that we've preached. That is by grace and through faith and not of works. In fact, let me throw this up in this context. I think this is the right verse. You might want to put this down, and we will, I promise, we will look at this when we get there. I think it's Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Let me glance real quick, make sure I'm right on that. Yes. I would say that when it comes to the gospel and the salvation by the grace of God through faith, these are your key verses, especially verse 8, that point out that it is not of works. It is purely, well, shoot, I just want to read it now. It ain't but two pages over from where we are in Galatians. Remember, go eat popcorns, and that's one. 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. That's the two key words, by the grace of God and through faith. But then he says, and that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Man, those two verses give you, wow. It gives you the answer to acquiring salvation so succinctly. By grace, through faith, not works. So now in Galatians, what he keeps arguing is, if you are trying to make me turn back to following Old Testament law, then you're saying the gospel is a gospel of works. It's not. It's grace through faith. Not of works. And I don't know why. Well, I guess it was hard to get that into their brains because they're so accustomed to an Old Testament with all the laws and sacrifices and all that. Really hard to get away from that. So that's two statements in that paragraph that are really important in the book of Galatians. Anything there that you want to point out, ask about? I'm trying to make y'all talk. Wednesday night is kind of informal, so you can bring up, you know, and y'all were sure talking before we started tonight and hushed up now.
We run out of energy.
Do what?
Said, how about that weather?
How about that weather? Oh, my goodness. Wow. I wish it was snow since you brought it up. It's too hot. But, okay, let's do this. The box in your book net, since we're talking about the Judaizers trying to get the Gentiles to turn to Judaism before they turn to Christ, this is a good spot to define the word Gentile. You probably know this, but let's just put it in there so we know we've got it straight. Basically, the entire world, now this is going to be a super simple way of thinking about it, but the entire world is either Gentile or not. I mean, kind of. I mean, that's kind of what it boils down to when it comes to Old Testament and Bible days. So if you are a Gentile, then you're not Jewish. Okay? You're not Jewish in religion or in ethnicity. You are a Gentile. And there's a lot of laws in the Old Testament pertaining to Gentiles, well, Jewish people and their customs and what they can eat and cannot eat. God was, I think, setting apart a peculiar people for himself to say that you're to be distinct from this world. They were the Jewish people. So, basic definition of Gentile, not of Jewish nationality or a Jewish religion. And this is a big deal in the first century. Big deal, for sure. I can't say that I've known many people truly of Jewish descent. I think there's been one lady here at the church since I've been here. And for some reason, I can't think of her name right now. Remember she was close to Amy and then moved to Tennessee? I don't know why I can't think of her name. She jokingly called herself a biker chick. Debbie, was that it? Was it Debbie?
Debbie Green.
Debbie Green, yep. And honestly, Debbie Green told me, she said, I'm like Jewish, like truly. I mean, that's her nationality, ethnicity, was Jewish. That's the only person like I've really known kind of close, I think, that's Jewish. An interesting thing is said, when went, wow, 11 years now, to Israel, the guy told us, I thought he told us one half of 1% of the Jewish people in Israel are actually Christian.
What did it do about the Orthodox Jew?
Oh, there's different branches. And,
oh, okay. I'm a Jewish.
Orthodox and, oh yeah, there's several. You know, and they're just like us. Some would be considered more conservative, some more liberal, you know, kind of thing. And I'm truly not an expert on that, but I know there's at least two, if not three, primary, like, larger size groups.
Okay.
But the point is, if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. And that's probably all of us in here, as far as I know, tonight. Okay, well then let's jump really quick into that next section, since y'all are rolling along pretty good. And guess what? All three of these verses now are going to emphasize the exact same thing. That it's by faith, because that's a key part of this book. So in these verses in Galatians, what does Paul say? People are justified, made right, declared righteous with God. And it's just going to be over and over and over. The very first reference, chapter 2, verse 16, he makes it very clear that you are justified by faith. You're going to get tired of hearing this, by faith. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. The Messiah, in Jesus the Christ, in Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, and this is a good spot. If you're into marking some key verses in your Bible, this is a good one to mark, because what he's doing is talking about the distinction between Jews and Gentiles. And in verse 15 of chapter 2, speaking about himself, he says, we are Jews by nature, right? We're born that way. This is our nationality, ethnicity. We're Jews. Jews, and we're not sinners like the heathen, from among the Gentiles. But they know what he says. Verse 16 is key. Nevertheless, even though we're not Gentiles, nevertheless, knowing that a man, a person, is not justified by the works of the law. See how clear that is? Because of the false teachers. We're not justified or made right with God by the works of the law, but it's through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, because of that, even we Jews, even we have believed in Christ Jesus. See, if I could be saved by the law, then I wouldn't need to trust in Christ. But Paul says, even as a Jew, I've been justified through faith. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by... Look at the repetition of faith. Justified by faith. Faith. Justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. And then he hits it one more time. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Why is he so strong? Because of false teachers. They're coming in. And they're saying, to be justified, you got to follow Old Testament law, and then you can become a Christian. He's like, what is wrong with y'all? Even the Jewish people aren't justified that way. We're justified by faith in Christ Jesus. So that's first reference. Second reference is he emphasizes how to be right with God. Through Christ, who redeemed us from the curse. And so now we'll look in chapter 3. And this is almost exactly what's on the screen right now. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why is there a curse in the law? Because basically, if you're going to live, survive and be right with God, you've got to keep the law perfectly. And since you can't, it becomes a curse, right? Remember that yoke of bondage he talked about earlier? So where was I at? Okay, he redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And then look what he does. He quotes the Old Testament law. This is from the book of Deuteronomy. And he says, even it is written in the Old Testament law, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Basically, they're talking about crucifixion. And he says that Jesus became for us that curse, right? We're looking back at the cross. So again, it's implied that the justification is through Christ. It's not through the Old Testament law. And then the third reference, he comes back to faith again. You can't get away from it. This one, summary statement, through faith in Christ and being baptized into Christ. That is how we're justified, made right with God. So now we're in chapter 3, verse 26. At the end of that chapter, speaking to these Gentiles in Galatia, he says, for you are all sons of God, and here we go, through faith in Christ Jesus, not through your keeping of Old Testament law or works. For all of you who are baptized into Christ, baptism always is an identification with. So for all of those of you who have been identified with Christ through baptism, you've clothed yourself with Christ. And then we go back to verse 28, which we looked at earlier. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free man, neither male nor female. You all are one in Christ Jesus. So it starts off again in verse 26. You become a child of God through faith. See, over and over in Galatians, he emphasizes, it's through faith. It's through faith. It's through faith. It's not justification by the works of the law. So three more times implied in the second reference, and the other two are very clear that we're made right with God through faith. Anything in that section? I guess I can start a little bit into the last one. So then, the book next says, according to the following verses, what is more important than obeying the Old Testament law? That sounds pretty serious. Because if you're a good Jewish person, you know that you're very careful with trying to keep the Old Testament law. But because he's defending justification by grace through faith, he comments on some things more important. So in chapter 5, verse 6, here's what he says. He says, one thing more important than obeying the Old Testament law, and here's our word again, it's faith. Over and over and over. We're near the end of the book now in chapter 5 and 6. So if we look at chapter 5 and verse 6, he says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. Now, what's the circumcision? That's the Jewish people. What's the uncircumcision? That's the Gentile people. Now, remember he said earlier, it doesn't matter your distinction when it comes to salvation. We're all one in Christ Jesus. So in him, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is going to get you to heaven. Right? Don't think just because you follow a particular law, you've done something like that, that's going to make you right with God. And if I can throw this out there real quick before we read the rest of verse 6, which is kind of the key in this. Let me also say this to us Baptist people. And you know this, but some people get this so wrong, and certain churches teach it wrong. If I can, hey, let me do this. This is not to be scandalous to the Scripture, but let me put it this way, just for us today. For in Christ Jesus, neither baptism nor not being baptized means anything. Now, why do I say that? Well, let me back up again. In Christ Jesus, neither going to church or not going to church means anything. He's talking about salvation, right? The baptism is not what saves you. The circumcision is not what makes you right with God. Going to church is not going to make you right with God. But what does? It's not circumcision for the Jew or uncircumcision for the Gentile. It is faith. Now, how do I know it's a saving faith? Because he says it's a faith that is working through love. That's a good phrase to describe the church. It should be people who've been saved by the grace of God through faith, and we see it worked out in the way we love. Maybe those three passions over there, right? People around us, God himself. So that's what Paul argues. So look, you ain't going to impress me with your circumcision certificate or your baptism certificate or your church membership medal. You're not going to impress me with that. But you show me your faith that's working itself out through the way you love. He said that is what is more important.